You take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5. I shouldn't have to tell you that. Matthew chapter 5. And our text for today is verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So we're going to talk about this more, but right away we see that the goal is righteousness. Now, we've talked about how these Beatitudes tend to be a paradox. And we might say about this one, well, not this one. I mean, there it is, hunger and thirst, and you will be satisfied. That's pretty straightforward. But there's another sense in which it is paradoxical. How can you be blessed if you're hungry and thirsty? It doesn't seem to make any sense. We would think that if you want blessing, if you want true happiness, we might say, not surface happiness, but true happiness, just go after it. But this says, no, hunger and thirst for righteousness. But much of the thinking of the world that we are exposed to all the time is just that. Go after happiness. Go after this real satisfaction, this real happiness. And then the world gives example by doing everything it can to go after that. But it proves that the truth of this paradoxical beatitude, those who go after happiness never find it. There may be some temporary pleasure, but it never lasts. You know, Paul says in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world. Don't underestimate the power of this world to squeeze you into its mold. This desire for happiness is strong, and don't think that you are immune to it. And I'm not talking about just the wild crowd that is seeking some illicit pleasure, but there are other ways too. Consider the second paragraph of our own Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The framers of the Declaration of Independence didn't get that out of the Bible, because the Bible flatly contradicts it. And yet I'm saying this is strong. But Paul finishes that verse, don't be conformed to this world, but what? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. May this little verse this morning go a long way in transforming, renewing our minds. So let's read it this morning. Matthew chapter 5. We read these every week, and it's good. Beginning in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Let's pray. Now, Father, we prayed this morning that you would speak to us. And Lord, now I pray for me as I have the privilege of sharing the word. Deliver me from dependence on myself, thinking that I have any great insight. Lord, I confess I don't. But by your Holy Spirit, speak to us through the word you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we want to look, first of all, at the goal. The goal is righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So the first thing we've got to do is we've got to talk about what is this righteousness. We could say, well, it's justification. I don't know if you're familiar with that word. Yes, it's a biblical word. Matter of fact, the word occurs three times in the King James, and it occurs three times in the ESV. And what does it mean? It means to be declared right with God. Or you could say, what does it mean? It means righteousness. Righteousness, justification, there's a sense in which they're almost the same. And it's a good concept. We talk about it all the time. We come into this world as sinners, but God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died and rose for our justification. He took our punishment on Himself that we might go free. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I say all of that to say this. I don't believe that is Jesus' primary meaning. I don't think we can ever rule out justification, but there is more to it than that. We don't translate this verse. I don't know any translation that translates it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justification. Because justification isn't enough. There is more to it than that. He had more in mind than that. Keep in mind that as we read through these Beatitudes, He's giving us the character of believers. First of all, of course, it's His own character, Jesus Himself. But of those who truly follow Him, these are the qualities that you will see in their lives. Not perfectly, but growing. They are beyond justification. It's not just in the beginning when we come to Christ, but this is an ongoing process. Nor is this righteousness just a general morality and respectability. In other words, it's what I said before. It's not, this is the nice guy who is a law-abiding citizen, who is a good mom, and never gets in trouble. That is not what this is about. This righteousness is associated with the righteous God. The source of true righteousness is always found in the Lord God. Now, there's a number of ways we could describe it. We could refer to this righteousness in a large part as personal holiness. In other words, it's not just justification over here at a point where you were declared right with God, but it is also sanctification. It's living a holy life day by day. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this. To put it another way, this righteousness means ultimately the desire to be free from sin and all its forms and its every manifestation. To be free from sin in every way. Why would a believer want to be free from sin? Is it enough just to be done with the penalty of sin and say, I'm going to heaven? Why would we want to be free from sinning in this life? Do what? To please God. And to walk with God. What keeps us from God? Sin. So, I don't want sin to be in my life because it separates me from my Lord. I want to walk with Him. I want to fellowship with Him. I don't want sin in my life. And it goes even deeper. It's hard to explain. But as the Lord brings us to the point when we are hungering and thirsting for this righteousness is a hatred even of the desire to sin. Now, we could say in general, the believer doesn't want to sin. But let's be honest. Sometimes this comes into our life and we kind of have this little hankering for a certain thing. And this righteousness hates that. It despises every sin and every desire for sin. Another way to put it, one man puts it like this, righteousness refers to a parent pattern of life in conformity to God's will. A perfect conformity to the will of God. That describes this righteousness. Again, we're not going to reach it here. This is no less than a longing to be like Jesus Himself. Because Jesus is righteousness. You know, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 1:30. He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus is righteousness. To pursue this righteousness is to pursue the likeness of Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So describe it in different ways, but our goal is righteousness. This desire to be free from sin. This conformity to the will of God. This longing to be like Jesus. So now let's move from the goal, which is righteousness, to the pursuit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who want righteousness. But Jesus describes this pursuit in vivid terms, hunger and thirst. This is no accident. Jesus, as He was preaching on the Mount, He did not reach into His mind for the thesaurus to see if He could find a synonym for want or desire and hunger and thirst. Jesus purposely uses these terms. He knows exactly what He wants to say, and He wants to use strong metaphorical language to describe this longing for righteousness. Now, He did not mean something like this. So Jesus is saying, if you want it, then go after it. After all, if you want something bad enough, you can achieve it. So just set your mind on it, work hard, don't give up, and it will be yours. Go after it like a thirsty man goes after water. And the reason He doesn't mean that is because that smacks of personal achievement, of being able to achieve it on your own. And we know that can't be true. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit recognize they can't achieve anything on their efforts. As believers, what can we earn? Well, we can't earn our salvation in the beginning, but now, no, we can never earn anything. Apart from abiding in Christ, what can we do? What's the word? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This is not what Jesus is talking about. I want you to notice that this promise is passive. Let me tell you what I mean. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. It doesn't say they shall satisfy themselves, but they shall be satisfied. In other words, we hunger and thirst for this righteousness, not that we can obtain it, achieve it, earn it, but that it might be given to us. Make no mistake about it, this righteousness is a gift from God. So this hungering and thirsting, these terms speak of an intense desire, a conscious need for righteousness. Our problem is, we have an enemy that will try to lull us to sleep and think, well, now that I have been set right with God, declared right with God, I can just put it on cruise control until Jesus comes. American religion will tell us, now that you have become a child of God, you are no longer needy anymore. Now, you have to be really careful with that. The person who is hungry and thirsty for righteousness recognizes a great need. When a person is physically hungry and or thirsty, he is painfully aware of a great need. So it is. When we are spiritually hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we are conscious of this need of this righteousness that only God can give. Now, we could give all kind of illustrations of this, but the truth is there's no better illustration than what we read earlier in Psalm 42. When He says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Now just think about that. Can you see a deer panting for the streams of water? Can you see the deer running through the forest, desperately seeking water in order to stay alive? There's a certain desperation in what Jesus is talking about. Now you think about it. When a person is thirsty, and we don't know a whole lot about it, or most of us don't, but when a person is thirsty, you've seen it in the movies, and they're in the desert, and they're so desperate for water. So no matter what they see out there, it looks like water. We call them mirages and so on. There's a desperation there. That's why Jesus uses this language, that we might be desperate for this righteousness. One man puts it like this: to be hungry is not enough. I must be really starving to know what it is in his heart towards me, what is in his heart towards me. Not enough to hunger, but to be starving. All he's saying is, there is a desperation in this longing. Now, so we have the goal, we have the pursuit, and now we come to the satisfaction, the promise. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, many of us learned this in King James, and it said, for they shall be filled. I think the word satisfied is better, and let me tell you why. It's because this particular word was first used of animals being satisfied with food or drink. And then later it came to be used of people. This word is rarely used in a spiritual sense, this hungering and this satisfy, this word satisfy. It's used usually in a physical sense of being satisfied with a meal or being satisfied with a drink of water. One time in the Psalms, it is used in the Greek translation, this word is used of a spiritual hunger, but it is very, very rare. In the New Testament, it's used 15 times, and 13 and probably 14 of those, it is used of physical hunger and thirst. The way it's used most commonly and is describing about the 5,000 and later the 4,000 who ate the fish and the loaves and they were satisfied. That is, they had their physical hunger satisfied. So why did Jesus use this term? I think he used it to continue to be consistent in the hunger and thirst language. Just as a person is physically satisfied. Get this in your mind. After you have a good meal, maybe you hadn't had one in a while and you have a good meal, you are satisfied. Jesus is saying, spiritually, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we will be satisfied in the same way. Now the question is, how will we be satisfied? What is it that will satisfy? Well, I think it's pretty easy to answer that. When a weary traveler is thirsty for water, what satisfies him? Water. Doesn't take a genius, does it? Well, if we are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, what will satisfy us? Righteousness. The righteousness we're longing for. Now, I want us to be really clear. The promise here is not that we will be rid of all problems and life will be comfortable and smooth. You don't see that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be gloriously comfortable and everything will be great. They will live happily ever after. It's not what you read. They shall be satisfied, implied, satisfied with the righteousness for which they long. Now, let's go back to the start of this beatitude, just like they all start with the word blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So, if this satisfaction doesn't mean the removal of problems and happy outward circumstances, then where is the blessing in this? How can it translate into a blessing? When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we get a glimpse, we get a taste of what that righteousness is, and when we are satisfied with it, we know we are blessed. It is sweet. If righteousness is being conformed to the will of God, to being made like Jesus, will we not be blessed when we taste that? Now, this is kind of like meekness. When we talked about meekness, we talked about the promise, having a near fulfillment and a distant fulfillment. It's kind of like that for this hungering and thirsting for righteousness. There's a sense in which the person who hungers and thirsts for righteousness has it. John, back to John. I'm not giving you a lot of scriptures this morning, but you might want to get in John 6, and we're going to read from it again a little bit later. We read earlier. John 6:37, Jesus speaking, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." There is a sense in which, and when we are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, there is satisfaction in that process. I have trouble explaining it, and we're going to come a little to it a little bit later. But there is satisfaction. There's an immediate satisfaction. Some of that we can see in justification itself, which is part of this. Not near all of it, but part of it. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we receive that righteousness. We are declared to be right with God. And what a blessing there is in that. That our sins have been forgiven. And alongside that, we are given a new heart. Praise God for that. But it doesn't stop there. There is a progression. As we hunger and thirst for righteousness, there is more righteousness that is given to us. And this is where the paradox really comes in. We would think, if I am hungry, and then I am satisfied, I am hungry no more. Now, Jesus speaks in these terms. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Never hunger or thirst again. But that is not the end of the story. What he's saying is, when you come to Jesus, and He is the bread of life, you will never hunger for anything other than Him. Okay? Come to John chapter 7. We sang it this morning, or at least we sang out of this. 37, we read this many times, 7:37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." It literally says, "If anyone thirst, let him keep on coming to me and keep on drinking from me. Whoever keeps on believing in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." It goes on and on and on. It doesn't seem logical, but it's true. We are satisfied, and yet we long for more. Can you see it in Paul's life? It doesn't seem logical, but you cannot deny the truth of it. Was Paul satisfied? There's a sense in which, absolutely. Last week, we looked at the end of Philippians 4. And what did he say? "I have learned to be content in all things. If I have a lot, I'm content. If I have a little, I'm content." He was content because he had Christ. But could we say that he never wanted anything more? He had no longing in his heart? We know it's not true. Because the great cry of his heart was, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings." He wanted more. Do you hear in Paul's voice that continual note of hunger and thirst? We're satisfied, we're filled, if you will, filled with that righteousness, but we're hungry for more. It doesn't make sense logically, but it makes sense spiritually, and that's exactly what our Lord is speaking about. And we're going to keep talking about that. A little bit later, I'm coming back to that. D.A. Carson's kind of sums it up like this. In a similar way, the person who hungers and thirsts for righteousness is blessed by God and filled, but the righteousness with which he is filled is so wonderful that he hungers and thirsts for more of it. I like that. This built-in cycle of growth is easy to understand as soon as we remember that righteousness in this text refers not to obeying some rules, but to conformity to all of God's will. The more a person pursues conformity to God's will, the more attractive the goal becomes and the greater the advances made. So, we've looked at the text pretty thoroughly. We've seen that the goal is this righteousness, desire to be free from sin, to be conformed to the will of God, to be like Jesus. The pursuit is intense, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And the promise is satisfaction. We will be satisfied. And we will be satisfied again, and we will be satisfied again, and we will long for more. Now, this particular beatitude, verse 6, is very, very important. These things are not laid out haphazardly. They build on one another. We started out rather negatively in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember, we talked about how there must be an emptying before there can be a filling. And then, blessed are those who mourn over their sin and the sin of others around them. There's a brokenness in this mourning. And if there's a brokenness, there needs to be a putting back together. Blessed are the meek. This laying down of one's rights and so forth. It's all kind of in a negative sense. But we turn the corner in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If there's an emptying, what's it going to be filled with? Righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, out of that, I have a couple of questions. The first one is this. So how do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? We said, well, intently. Yes, an intense longing. But how is that expressed? And the answer is the same as it has been in the first three. How do we become poor in spirit? How do we mourn? How are we meek? How do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? By looking to Jesus. That's it. He is the one who is righteous. Yes, He's poor in spirit. He mourns. He's meek. And He hungers and thirsts for righteousness. He did when He was on the earth. On the earth, He was righteous in all His dealings with God and man. As He sits at the right hand of the Father, He is still the righteous one. He is righteousness personified. So we, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Keep reading it. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Behold Jesus, and you will become like Him. Simple? Simple to speak. Not quite so simple to live. But absolutely true. Now, the second question is more direct and more personal, and this is it. Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? This is a question the Lord has been hammering me with this week. Ron, are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? I can say that I'm in the Word. I can say that I pray, though I'm weak. I can say that I am diligent to prepare to share the Word with you. I can say that I care about the flock and I try to live in light of that. But the question comes, am I hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Do I long to be like Jesus? And I'm struggling with that question. Am I so busy fulfilling those other obligations that I just listed that I don't have time to ask myself, am I hungry and thirsting for righteousness? Those words haunt me. As a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants after God. My soul is thirsty for God, for the living God. How does verse 3 go? My tears have been my food day and night. You know, I may lose some sleep over a spiritual situation that I'm facing. But when it comes to my lack of interest in being conformed to the will of God, does that ever cause me much discomfort? And you understand, I'm asking you the same question. So, I didn't really get any volunteers this week. I asked you last week, would anybody like to be a little personal illustration by seeing if you can get hungry and thirsty physically? So I tried that. And I fast from time to time, but I tried that. And here's what I found out. I didn't get too far because I found out that I have so much that it takes a while before I get hungry. But thirsty is a little bit different. And after having to take a little water to take a pill for my headache, I tried going without anything to drink for a while. And I did it long enough to discover, and I should know this, but to be reminded of this one thing. When you're really thirsty, it doesn't go away. You can't just turn it off and decide, I'm not going to be thirsty anymore. It doesn't go away until you get something to drink. And I'm thinking about this. So this hungering and thirst for righteousness, if I'm really thirsty for righteousness, I can't just turn it off. I'm thirsty until I'm given this righteousness. Here's what I fear. I fear this for me and us, that we are comfortable in our present circumstances. We're quite satisfied. You say, well, that's good, isn't it? Shouldn't we be content in Christ? Did not David say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Another translation, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Another translation, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything. Careful how you understand that. That does not mean, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, so that's it. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He supplies all my need. I need nothing except what He can give me. Somehow, we have to come to this point. Yes, we're content in Christ, but we long for more of Him. Now, I know this is an imperfect illustration, and I hesitate to use it, but I need to. So, when you have a young couple who are in love, so can you see the man saying, I love this woman, I hunger and thirst for her, now I found her and I'm satisfied. Well, that's over. No. He's satisfied, but he wants more. Now, Rhonda and I don't have a perfect marriage, and you know that. But I will tell you that we're not going up to the cabin in Rio Dosa to go fishing. We're going up there to get away from everything else so it can just be us, because we like to be together. I want more. I love this woman. That's nothing compared to the Lord. I love Rhonda, but she didn't die for me. Jesus did. How can it be that I am not hungry and thirsty for more of Him? I ask you, are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? I fear that our hearts get a little pricked and maybe a few tears in our eyes, and then we leave this building, and by tomorrow, it's gone. Because I know how we are. May God change us deep on the inside and give us the blessing of hungering and thirsting for His righteousness. Let's pray. Father, how can we put it into words? But Lord Jesus, You did. I pray that You would use those words today and tomorrow to search our hearts. We'd like to be able to say with David, "Oh God, You are my God. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Because Your loving kindness is better than life. Oh God, work in us. You know that we are weak. Have mercy on us and bless us with this intense longing for Your righteousness, ultimately for more of Your Son, Jesus. May we look to Him through the Word as we cry out in prayer, as we walk about day by day, moment by moment. May we abide in our Lord Jesus." I just give you a moment now to think and to pray just in the silence. Father, be glorified in us. Let Jesus be seen in us. May we be so satisfied in You that we bring You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.